with me in Mark chapter 6, please. And our reading is at verse 37 of Mark chapter 6. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Now, it's most remarkable in my mind that having had this on my heart, that our brother should say what he said and should pray in the way that he prayed. And I trust that as I've now taken the platform, what he prayed for and what I'm about to say will come together in the ministry. My friends, I thought it advisable today to say to you a little on a season's ministry with the Lord Jesus, and to notice with you some of the features that one would expect to see and to experience when we are walking with the Lord Jesus in service for him. Now, first of all, let me divide the Gospel by Mark into 3 portions, just in order to get the background. The first 5 chapters cover the introductory ministry of the Lord Jesus. And these 5 chapters rise to a sort of crescendo, because the 5th chapter finishes in 3 mighty miracles, one over demons, one over disease, and the other over death. One has to do with man, the other has to do with a woman, and the third has to do with a child. The whole range of bondage comes before us in Mark 5 as we rise to a crescendo in the personal ministry of the Lord Jesus. But my friends, he had the answer to everyone. The Lord Jesus was not baffled in anything. He coped with every situation. And the first 5 chapters are introductory, the personal ministry of the Lord Jesus. And then from verse 1 of chapter 6 to the 45th verse of chapter 10, we deal with the ministry in harness with his own. And then from verse 46 to the end of the book, we have the closing scenes of the ministry of the Lord Jesus according to Mark. Now, I want to consider with you today the opening chapter of the ministry of the Lord Jesus in harness with his own. And the reading that we have read together is one of the steps of that ministry, and I'm going to consider with you today 10 steps, 10 stages in the ministry of the believer in harness with the Lord Jesus. And seeing in those 10 stages some features that one might expect to find if you're walking in service with Christ. Now, I know your mind will be running over in an arithmetical type of way, and you'll be saying, if that man only gives us 5 minutes to each of his steps, that's 50 minutes. But then I would say, but if he only gives you 3 minutes to each step, that's only 30 minutes. And that's nearer to the truth. So I shall keep that in mind today. Now then, verses 1 to 6 of Mark chapter 6 is the opening step, and I have put a title on that, and I've called it, The Servant is of No Account. My friends, if you're going to serve the Lord Jesus, I would like you to keep in mind that as he was or is, so are we in this world. Please do not expect from the ungodly any better treatment in your testimony for the Lord Jesus than the Lord Jesus experienced in his own personal ministry. And if you're going to step out into service with Christ, remember that he could do no more mighty miracles in that place, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk. And why was that? Because they were stumbled at him. They were offended. and they affected the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and by their attitude toward him, they restricted the blessing. My opening remark then today, and not wishing to spend too much time at that one, stage number one. Step number one, in service for the Lord Jesus Christ, do not expect to be treated any differently by the ungodly than the Lord Jesus was treated himself. He was stumbled. Or they were stumbled because of him. Step number two takes us from verse 7 to verse 13. And I call that the call of the Lord and the sending forth. I should like you, dear friends, to be perfectly persuaded in your own mind that if brother or sister, in whatever sphere you have been called to serve him, that you have the backing of the Lord in what you do. For this section tells us that he called unto him the 12, and he began to send them forth. That's a characteristic word of Mark, by the way. He began. He began, and he began again. That teaches me that every season of ministry the Lord Jesus undertook, he completed it to the glory of God, and he began again. He began again. Mark seems to underline these words as he deals with service, the service of the Lord Jesus. Now the Lord made provision for them, and if the Lord sends you forth, he will provide. I know that's easy to say from the platform, but we must accept that as a basic fundamental truth or aspect of service. If he sends you forth, you're going forth at his charges, he will therefore provide, and he gave them power over unclean demons. Oh, how joyous they were when they experienced simple men in service for the Lord Jesus to find that there was power in the ministry. And the power in the ministry of the simple men, it rocked the government. As the next section tells us, the third one, and I've noted it from verse 14 to verse 29, and I've given it the title, The Result of the Ministry. Yes. Read that down. We can't read it today, my friend, but the man on the throne was troubled. For the ministry that was going forth had reached him. And he didn't want to be troubled anymore, but he was troubled by reason of his living, his manner of life, and the reports that were coming to him from these simple men and about the Lord Jesus. I was saying in Ballymena on Saturday night, in connection with another passage, my dear friends, we don't need to keep tabs on the Word of God. I hope everyone in this conference today is persuaded that once the Word of God is sent forth, we may pray about it, but we don't need to keep tabs on it. God will see to it that his own Word will accomplish that for which he has sent it forth. I have words of ministry ringing in my ears that I heard 30 and more years ago. I heard a brother Hunter once in Plantation Street, "For me to live, Christ," 30-odd years ago, and it rings in my mind today. My dear friends, we don't need to keep tabs on the Word of God. It will reach the very throne. And that's what happened in the third stage of the ministry. Herod was a wicked man, and he was in pursuit of wicked things. And there was one there beside him, as I shall show you in a moment or two in another connection, whose way of life, a girl, was bent on a very wicked way. But the Word of God accomplished the ministry. Stage number three. Number four, we have verse 30 and verse 31, and now I call that the return to Jesus. The return to Jesus. This came before me very forcibly in the readings in another connection when we were discussing what Paul was calling his boasting. 16 times over, we remarked that that word was found in the closing chapters of 2 Corinthians. But did you notice in the reading of the scriptures in your private reading that when Paul and his companions returned from a missionary journey, they came together, called the church, and they told them all things that God had done? Not Paul, not his pals or companions, but God. And here we have the disciples returning to the Lord Jesus, and they told him all things that they had done, everything they had taught. A very humiliating experience sometimes, as we find out. But he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Now there's a very nice touch from the pen of Mark. There's a sort of very close touch with this man's dealings. Matthew doesn't notice that personal touch. Come ye yourselves apart. Mark does. Luke doesn't notice that in his recording of the incident. Mark only does it. It's Mark that says the Lord working with them. On the Holy Mount there was the Lord with them. You see the nearness of the Lord in service for him. You can count on it. He's there. He's working. And he's working with you. So come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Much coming and going, not so much leisure as much as to eat. And they departed. I'm racing through these today to keep faith with the clock and the exercises of my brethren, but I trust you're picking up the point as we go. The servant is of no account. The call of the Lord and the sending forth. The results of the ministry don't keep tabs on God's word. The return to rest, this nice touch of the Lord, bring them in and we'll be together and they rehearse all the ministry to him. Verse 31 and 32, the retirement to rest. And now 33 to 36 has the title, in my little way of working things out, The Need of the Multitude. You notice with me, when the people saw him departing, and many knew him, and knew him intimately, they ran and ran ahead. Now notice two distinct attitudes, please, to the need of the multitude. Here are the disciples counting on a little time together in quietness with the Lord Jesus, a time of rest, a time of refreshment, a time of rehearsal, and suddenly, coming in amongst them and upon them is the need of the multitude. I want you to notice two attitudes. The attitude of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, when he saw them, was moved with compassion. They were a sheep without a shepherd. That's one. And the attitude of the disciples, they said, now this is a desert place. The time is far past. Send them away that they might buy bread in the country and the villages round about. Two attitudes. Well, you know, sometimes, my friends, we don't rise to the need of the multitude, and certainly not as swiftly as the Lord Jesus would ask or request of us. He was moved with compassion. They were moved with selfishness, but the need of the multitude didn't go away. It didn't go away. And sometimes in the tiredness of our service for the Lord Jesus, we feel like saying, ah, let them go. I've had enough. I'm tired. I've preached the gospel. I've ministered to the saints. I've visited houses door by door. I've served the assembly. I'm weary. Let them go. My dear friends, the multitude doesn't go away. Could I illustrate it for a moment? There was a dear brother over on our side of the water. He had a good business in the city. But his wife in her early 50s developed a premature senility. And she followed this dear brother about from early morning to late at night, and even through the night he had no peace. And he told me himself one time, he said, week after week, month after month, and then it got into years, he said, and I had to say to her once, Jean, would you not go away and give me a little rest? He was just at the end of his tether. And sometimes in Christian service, my friends, we come to the end of our tether and we say, could the multitude not go away? But they're there. And you have to rise again and listen to the words of the Lord Jesus in this little section, in verse 37 to 44, the feeding of the 5,000, where I read and what my brother referred to in his prayer. He says, now, give you them to eat. And they're still affected by this selfish attitude in a sarcastic way, I think. They say, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread? What's that among so many? It would only give them a little. And then the Lord Jesus directly but firmly, he says, now go and see. Go and see. And they did. And taking the smallness of resources that were available, just a few loaves and a few fishes, 5 and 2, he then takes the smallness of the resources present, and in his own miraculous and wonderful way, he begins to multiply it into a blessing for everyone. Now that's a principle to latch onto. Now notice with me, as we have the need of the multitude, verses 37 to 44 is the feeding of the 5,000. I've that noted in a little bit of paper here as step number 7. I'm not awfully good at this kind of thing, as you'll appreciate. So, if they don't rhyme or run or anything like that, you'll bear with me, but I trust you see the divisions. Now, he commanded them all to recline, not just to sit down, but to recline. Make yourself at ease. And do it in companies upon the green grass. Now, my friends, some people attack the Word of God. Now, I'm perfectly happy with the harmony of the four Gospels. Indeed, I am. And to illustrate it to you for the moment, let's look at the grass for a moment or two. There is one Gospel, no grass. There's a second Gospel, grass. There's a third gospel, much grass. And there's a fourth gospel, green grass. All describing the same incident. No grass, grass, much grass, green grass. I join all four of them together, and what do we get? Much green grass. And make them all recline. The conditions were favorable for the Lord Jesus to minister to the company. But now, he's not going to take the disciples out of the situation, so he says, now, sit them all down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. A most interesting picture. Did you know that that was a gardening picture? The word for plots. And I'm sure in your garden, you don't just let things run away from you, but you seek to have a little plot of this and a little bit of that, and you divide your garden up. Well, under the eye of the Lord Jesus, he seems to be saying to the disciples, make them all sit down in plots, in fifties and in hundreds. Now do a wee bit of counting for the moment. 5,000 men, besides women and children. Forget about the women and children at the moment. If they were in groups of 50, we had 100 little plots of men reclining on the green grass. If they were in groups of 100, we had 50 little plots of men sitting down in an orderly fashion that they might be ministered to by the disciples. We split the difference and we'll have 75 plots of men sitting, some 50s, some in hundreds, but before the eye of God and according to the direction of the Lord Jesus, sitting under his orderly eye in an orderly way. My dear friends, in the assemblies of God's people, we should be marked by order, as 1 Corinthians 14 tells us, let us do it all decently and in order. God is not haphazard. There are those that seek to prove that our remembrance of the Lord Jesus is a disorderly situation. Don't believe it. It is well and truly guarded, ordered, and under control by a higher authority than you. So they all sat down then, and when he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, he blessed and he gave thanks. And he gave them to the disciples that they would move amongst them and serve them the need of the multitude. Notice with me in verse 43 before we leave the section, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Margin of my Bible says a hand basket. It wasn't the kind of basket that Paul came down the wall in that we were considering during our Bible readings. I believe it was a small personal one that they could get underneath the cloak. And probably it contained what they needed for the day. And so the Lord Jesus made them fill up only the basket now, not more than that. Fill up your baskets with the fragments. Why was that? It was a constant reminder to them that they had said, will 200 penny worth of bread suffice? It was a constant reminder to them that in service with the Lord Jesus, smallness of resources can be multiplied by him to serve the multitude and still left over enough to serve you. Each one a handbasket with the fragments that remained. And they that did eat of the loaves were 5,000 men. See, there we have the reading, give ye them to eat. My dear friends, we today, from the ministry of God's word, we're looking for bread that will satisfy the longings of our souls and be assured that the word of God is authoritative and it's orderly, and under the control of God's Spirit, it will minister to the needs of God's people. Do take it today from us as we seek to minister from God's word. And, says he now, in the next section, leading to the trial on the sea, step number 8. I trust you've got my little heading, the trial on the sea. And straightway, he constrained them. Now let me stop. In Mark 5, there are 6 references to a characteristic word of Mark, the word immediately. 2 in relation to the man of the Gadarenes, 2 in relation to the woman with the issue of blood, 2 in relation to the raising of Jairus' daughter. Notice what happens. When the Lord Jesus visited Gadara, immediately, the demon met him. When the Lord Jesus had dealt with the subject, verse 13, immediately, forthwith, immediately, same word, Jesus gave them leave, he dismissed them. See the way it goes? Over to the issue of blood, and she said, if I could touch him, I would be saved. And she did. And the word says, and immediately the fountain dried up. But, catch the next one. Immediately, Jesus knew it. You see, my friend, you don't have contact with the Lord Jesus on a delayed action type of thing. You see, immediately the woman touched, she was helped. Immediately the Lord knew it, because no virtue would leave him without his knowing about the situation. And then with the girl, you see, they said, don't trouble the master, the girl's dead. And verse 36 says, immediately Jesus heard the word, he said, don't be afraid. But after he had spoken and laid his hand, he said, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And did she come forth from death a little at a time? Not a bit. Immediately the damsel arose. 6 times. What about our chapter now? That was really a background. Well, 6 times again, the word immediately in the chapter. 3 times in relation to Herod in wickedness. And 3 times in relation to the Lord Jesus, I say, in blessing. See how it comes? Here it is. The head of John the Baptist, the girl says, straightway, immediately with haste, she went to the king and said, can I have his head? And I want it immediately. And the Bible says, and immediately the king sent for the executioner. 3 times. See that? Hurry. Immediately. But with the Lord Jesus, it's different. And now we come, and immediately the Lord Jesus constrained the disciples to get into the ship. And in their trouble on the water, they were afraid. But immediately the Lord talked to them. And down at the end, when he comes to this finish of the chapter, and the other side at Gennesaret, immediately they knew him. 3 wicked ones, 3 with the Lord. Worth looking at, I suggest. Now, what about the word constrained? There are several words in the New Testament that are given to us as constrained. For example, Lydia had such a desire for the brethren that she constrained them, come into my house, and enjoy the hospitality of my home. Now that is the constraining of love. It's the appeal of a warm heart. The same word as the two on the road to Emmaus who were enjoying the company of the Lord Jesus, the night coming on and the day far spent, and they constrained him. There was the constraining of love. But not this one. This is a compelling sort of thing. He said to the disciples, get into the boat. Get into the boat. Why did he take up that attitude? Well, you see, now that they had fed the multitude, there was the popularity of the occasion to go on with. And they thought they would like to ride that out and enjoy that. And so they wanted to get in with the multitude. But he, preserving them, says, I have another trial for you. The trial on the sea, verse 45 to verse 47. And while they were in the midst of the trial, my friends, where do you think the Lord Jesus Christ was? Not in the boat that time. But he departed to the mountaintop, there to engage in prayer. We're not told what he prayed about. But even though he was on the mountaintop praying, and they in the trial of the sea, the Lord Jesus saw them in their problem. I sometimes wonder, you know, and I merely sort of just touch this lightly, I'm not skilled at this kind of thing, but in the trials of life, we sometimes think that the Lord Jesus is neither interested nor is he aware. And from this portion of the scripture today, I hope there's help for some, that in a season's ministry with the Lord Jesus, one of the steps and lessons we must learn is that though he be not seemingly available, he is nevertheless engaged on your behalf and mine in his service on high. Verses 48 to 52, and I'm going to sit down. I think we've drawn your attention enough today to what was on my mind. Just a skeleton, but 48 to 52, the help of the Lord in the trouble and the immediate response to them when they thought he was, see the word phantom? They thought he was a ghost. A ghost. You know, my friends, I sometimes think that in the trials of life, we are prepared to believe anything at times. And they thought they were seeing a ghost, when all the time it was the Lord Jesus, and he said, be not afraid, it is I. And he entered into the circumstances that affected them, right into the boat beside them, and immediately he came in amongst them. Well, of course, there was a change. The wind ceased, and the waves descended down, and he was there. Another characteristic of Mark, now I can't touch it today, but there are over 20 references in the book to the wonder and amazement, and they were sore amazed. And Mark notices the response from those that walk in service with Christ. And throughout the gospel, he marks time and time again the sore amazement, the wonder and amazement, then marveled in his presence. Now notice what it says here. And they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Could it possibly be that just having witnessed with their own eyes the ministry of the Lord Jesus that told them they were faithless and not rising to the needs of the multitude, and possibly with the basket underneath their cloak in the boat, with the things that remained, a basket full of bread. The Bible says they had already in the short time forgotten the blessing of the Lord, and their heart was hardened. My dear friends, the human heart is deceitful, wicked, of course you know the scripture, above all things, beyond all things. And here is a demonstration. Blessed be the Lord. He in his kindness and grace, he comes into them, they go to the other side. And when they get to the other side at Gennesaret, what do you think happens? The need of the multitude was before them again, and that he had to rise and begin again to serve the people. You and I have not many years to live. We're here to serve God. I take it against myself that I don't do very much for him, relatively speaking, when I think of what some of my brethren and sisters do. At times I am ashamed. But nevertheless, from this word today, let us remind our hearts there are features and lessons to be learned in service with Christ.